Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Happy Sabbath, Church. It is a privilege and an honor to be with you on this Sabbath morning. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we wait a word from you. Disappoint us not, this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Love and marriage. Love and marriage. Go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. What? The Bible is replete with many examples of relationships. But of all the relationships that you can find within the pages of the Holy Writ, there is none so binding, none so striking as that of found between the husband and his bride. In fact, there are many examples of couples in the Bible. Of course, you have Adam and Eve, Noah and little talked about Mrs. Noah. You have Lot and his pillar of salt, Abraham and Sarah, Jacob and Rachel and Leah, Hosea and his Gomer. And then in the New Testament, we also have Mary and Joseph. We have Ananias and Sapphira, and then we have some of those notorious couples like Jezebel and Ahab. We have Ananias and, okay, we have Hosea and Gomer. And as we look at all of these couples that we find between the pages of Holy Writ, we will realize that of all these couples, there seems to be one couple that outranks all these couples and seems to, as if, be sandwiched from the beginning to the amen. As if picking up on this great theme, Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wife even as Christ loved the church." Now we will look at the story of this epic saga of love. It would seem that of all the examples of love and how it should be, that this probably would be the example that we should look at. After all, is not Christ our example? For us to understand this relationship, though, let us first have a good look at the groom. This is no ordinary groom. He loved his bride so much that before they even met, he went through unspeakable lengths to make sure that she would be happy. Spoke ex nihilo and whirling worlds came into water. Stars scintillated in the heavens. Mountains rose in awesome splendor towards the heavens. The sea, the liquid world beneath. See the fish swim, zigzag and zip. The octopods wave their hands as if to direct the submarine traffic. The meadows filled with bubbling brooks. Diamonds of dew crystallize on roses. All this for his bride. And if to solidify this, he set up a weekly date night. The Sabbath. Set aside time, and so she would not forget, set stars in the heavens. What a groom. And we can look at this groom and find in it an example of how love should be. But to better understand the entire relationship, let's have a look at the bride. Of all creation, earth was the most beautiful. The crown of creation. But it wasn't long before that beautiful relationship was heading for turmoil. Between Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 6, you will hear a distraught groom calling after his bride. Adam, where art thou? By chapter 6, there'd be none left of his church, none left of the bride, but 8. All through the pages of Holy Writ, he's chasing restlessly, trying to win back the girl of his dream. But the great controversy always would rage between the husband and the other one. Between God and Satan. Between God and the second fiddle. A lot can be said about love. Some say love is the feeling you feel when you feel the feeling you've never felt before. Shakespeare says, "Let me not to the marriage of true minds introduce impediments. Love is not love which alters when it alteration finds or bends with the remover to remove. No, it's that fixed mark that to every wandering bark who looks on the tempest and is unshaken." Ellen White says, "Love is not a fiery, impetuous passion, but is calm and reasoned." But by any measure of what we would call love, this love that this groom has for his bride exceeds, far exceeds it. Love so much that he would send letters to her, send messages with the prophets, but she would pay no attention to him until there was trouble. And then in times of trouble, well, then we need a savior. In times like these. But soon as he would come in and save, soon as he would come and help, her heart would turn and prefer the other one. So he came in person. Touched down in Bethlehem. Healed the sick and brought the dead back to life. And she was impressed for a while. But her heart never changed. What love and marriage? Love and marriage go together like a... This I tell you, brother, you can't have without. And so, in his last attempt to win her back, he showed her an example of how much he cared. Crowds have lined the narrow street to see this man from Galilee, just a carpenter, some say, leading fools astray. Yet they bow to call him king. Restlessness crowds over the city. A panic, disorganized, pervades in circles. The crowd is pressing in, chanting, "Crucify, crucify, crucify. Jesus, she doesn't want you. Wants nothing to do with you." Son of God raised up between heaven and hell. Devils, diabolic demons of damnation, does. And she smiles and looks on. This is where the lesson is. All men who would be fathers must first love mothers. If you dare say I do, and not look at the example of the cross, heaven have mercy on you. Husbands, it says, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave. So many fathers believe that they must leave a legacy of possessions for their children. A legacy of accomplishments for their children. A legacy of this and that. Of fame. But the only legacy that lasts is a legacy of love. You may preach 1,000 sermons, but they will remember what you do. Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. It all comes together at the cross. Fathers, it's also important to note that your sons may have big dreams and want to take on impossible missions. But you need to be with them every step of the way. Because at the cross, even in the dense darkness, the Father is not far from His Son. Even when He is painted with all our sins, He does not turn His back on His Son. It's all at the cross. It's all right there at the cross. Men who will be true to duty as the needle to the pole. He never flinched. She said, come down. You saved others. Save yourself. And he cried out, it is finished. What did he mean? Did he mean that my heart has been broken too many times by you? I am fed up and I give up. It said, till death do we part, and goodbye. Finally, even a God who could not die laid down his life and said, it is enough. Is that what it means? Sunday morning, Christ comes from the grave, still looking for his bride. As if taking up on this great theme, Paul says, what? What? What then shall I say? What then shall I say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? So what shall separate us from the love of God? It says, shall tribulation or distress. Now, Wasn't he mocked and beaten and distressed? Not separated. It says, it goes on to say, or persecution or famine, didn't he fast 40 days? Or nakedness? Do you think he was hung on the cross, clothed in a suit? Stripped down! The emphasis is not on what shall stop us loving God, but what shall stop God loving us? Nothing. He's already proved it. Ready gone to the cross. And comes back looking for his bride. Come on, come on, come on. It would be a sorry tale if it ended here. With such a love. Unreflected, not reciprocated. But you'll realize that so many times we believe that love is this powerful force that overturns and overthrows, that walks in doors and kicks in chairs and knocks down tables. But on the wall of a cell of a hunger striker were etched with his fingernails, "We shall overcome, not because we can inflict the most, but because we can endure the most." The true story of love, the true legacy of love, it's long-suffering, it's patience. Can't lose your temper all the time and be reflecting Christ. Can't be huffing and puffing all the time and be reflecting Christ. Can't be wandering down the street and no one knows where you are, reflecting Christ. It's the patient love that made the difference. And soon she reached a point where she recognized the love that she had. On the day of Pentecost, Peter would preach a sermon and thousands would come in. And now the church began to be an entity, a force to be reckoned with. All throughout the ages of history from then on, she was a completely different bride. Nothing you can do can make me untrue to my groom. I'm sticking to my groom. Like a stamp to a letter. Like birds of a feather will stay together. I'm telling you from the start, I can't be torn apart from my groom. And the groom is coming back for his bride. I see a day when a cloud of the size of half a man's hand shall be seen. Coming closer and closer, and the earth shall rock on its axis like a drunken man, and the sky shall crack like glass, and the trumpet shall be blown, and it's the groom coming back for his bride. Love and
thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.